Morning. Morning. Couple announcements this morning. Thanks again to all who organized the Christmas dinner and program. It was great. The annual free Sylvan Lake Community Christmas dinner. It has been done for the last 20 years, and the Ministerial Association was seeking volunteers to help cook and serve on Saturday, December the 21st. And there will be a notice posted at the back there for anybody who would like to. The last men's Bible study for this year is this Wednesday, 7:30. And it'll start back up again on January 8th. And next Friday will be the last Friday Bible study at 7. And it'll start back up on January the 10th. Next Sunday, the 15th, the service will be at 11 a.m. I should quit reading exactly what it says. I knew it was a.m. And the Bethany service is at 2 p.m., not a.m. You didn't write a.m. Yes. Service, and the Christmas program is at 6 o'clock on next Sunday, the 15th. Also, I think there will still be adult Bible study next Sunday because there will be another practice for the program. And that'll be at 10. And Sunday school will start up again on January the 5th. There's a ladies' meeting January 11th at 1 p.m., and all ladies are welcome. And the annual meeting will be January 18th at 1 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Mass choir at 3 and 7 this afternoon. Any prayer requests? Okay, we'll Ben will read the psalm, and Jordan will do the prayer, and Tom will bring us to service. And after the service, Holy Communion will be served, and all are welcome. And we'll start.
Thank you. psalm reading for today is Psalm 66, 1 to 12. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works through the greatness of thy power. Shall the enemies submit themselves unto thee? All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place.
Now, on this song here, I have instructions from my wife who is playing the song that the last stanza of each verse has to be sung twice.
Take
you once again for the privilege and blessing of gathering together around thy word, gathering fellowship with other believers, and pray that you would strengthen each of us and give each of us what we need for every day. Thank you for this group of believers here, and the blessing that we have people of all ages and all different states of life, and that's how the body of Christ should be. We should have all sorts of people, and everybody has a place, and pray that we would see thy will for us as individuals and as a group, and that you would work through us. And if there's some in our community that might be people we work with, or somehow if there are people who are still seeking Jesus that haven't yet heard, that they would hear from us as believers and still trust in Jesus. And we pray that you would strengthen each of us. Has different struggles, and often others don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves what we need, but we know that as God our Father, that you know what we need, and that you'd give each of us that. Many people are grieving loved ones lost, or be with Lynn with her health troubles, and many people do have health troubles, and so many different things that the weakness of our flesh gives us, but you know, Lord, what we need for each day, and I pray that you'd give us our daily bread, give us the things that we need physically, and most especially give us what we need spiritually to trust in Jesus, continue to have faith, looking toward eternal home with God, and through the power of Jesus Christ in our lives and faith in Him. Now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As the text in Philippians says, we will be in Philippians chapter 1. We'll read from 1 to 11. So if we can turn our Bibles there, that's Philippians chapter 1, 1 to 11. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. The Christmas season, the season of Advent is important to all. The birth of Christ is important to all. And it is so important in the lives of Christians. And from a point of view of where we stand naturally on this earth and where we are, the place we live, the people we meet, and all the things that are happening in this season. From a physical point of view, from a carnal nature, the world. For the first 20, 25 years of my life, probably a little longer than that, the birth of Christ was always stable in a manger, and I'm not making light of this. I'm not making light of this. And the story is beautiful. But I think the time and season of the birth of Christ, the year or the seasons after my regeneration, were more important. And I'm trying to explain just for myself what it means for the birth of Christ in me. There's a difference between a physical birth of a baby that came to save sinners than a spiritual rebirth of a person that was going directly to hell and being transformed into the bride. And that is what, for myself, look at Christmas as. It's more of, when did God apprehend you? When did Christ change you? When did you acknowledge that he is your King and Lord of Lords? When was that? When did that happen? When you were 3, 5, 7? There was a point in time in your life, or there will be a point in time in your life, where you realize that Jesus Christ is everything. Absolutely everything. And I think that's the birth. That's the gift. You become part of the bride to be given to the bridegroom. And that is Christmas to me. So as we look into the text today, and we read it, we have Paul here writing to the saints, the bride of Christ, and the bishops who are part of the bride and the deacons who are part of the bride. And he graciously greets them in verse 2. From grace be unto you, favor be unto you, and peace, not the peace that the world sends, but my peace. You will be at peace, at rest, at comfort, because it is finished. The job is done. From God our Father, who is the Father of all fathers, and Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of lords, and he lords over us through his love and his grace, and through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in my prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. So we'll stop there. Have you ever noticed that the justice of God seems, because we war against the flesh, the world, and the devil, seems more powerful than the grace of God? When we see somebody that is an enemy to the cross, when we see somebody that is abhorrent, they just cannot stand it when somebody speaks of Jesus Christ. And they definitely make it known. We almost beckon. We almost say, the wrath of God will be appeased in that person. It's not going to be good, because that's our flesh. In the New Testament, the grace of God is so prevalent. And it is there in the Old Testament also. But in the New Testament, it is finished. So when we look at the wrath of God and we say, well, we see our enemies, and Jesus says, love your enemies. That's the command. But when we see we war against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we war against, in a room of 100, there's probably 3 that believe. Maybe there's 10. Maybe there's 20, depending on the room. I'm absolutely sure it's higher than 3 or 10 here. I don't know that. I just have that impression. But in the world, when you're in the world, the numbers are low. So it is a battlefield and it is a war. So it's no different than in Jeremiah's time. And if we read in Jeremiah chapter 3, and I'm going to quickly read it, to show where God exercises his wrath, because his wrath was not appeased. In the New Testament, his wrath is appeased, because it was put on his son and placed on his son. But in the Old Testament, Jeremiah in chapter 3, verses 1 to 26, and I'll quickly read it, and I won't go point by point. I'll just show you the power of God through his wrath. And we've got to remember that the wrath of God is because he loves us. He's exercising wrath because he loves us. Because he put your sin on his son. The wrath that was meant for you and for me was put on his son. It was out of love. So when we look at the wrath in the Old Testament, we look at it as out of love because of the change that we will make. So when we read this, it is, they say if a man be put away his wife, it's in Lamentations, sorry. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm reading the wrong book here. Jeremiah despairs yet hopes. That's the key. He despairs yet hopes. I am a man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me to the into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me. He hath compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Why is he saying all this? Because he's in a world of people that do not love God. He's surrounded by people who do not love God. And he's frustrated. He hath hedged me about, and that I cannot get out. He hath made me my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow. He hath made me mark as a mark for an arrow, for the arrow. He hath caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with the bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. And if you've ever tried wormwood, it's pretty bitter. He hath also broken my teeth and with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul from far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The fact that you got up this morning and breathe in and breathe out is by God's grace. Because yet for the grace of God go I. He has every right to not let us live another day. It's by his grace we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Why will he hope in him? Because he knows where he came from. He knows the world that's surrounding him is the enemy. And he knows God is the one that took him out of darkness to bring him into light. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God's grace. In men's group, it was brought to our attention, and the person that quoted this is beautiful. It's a beautiful picture of a nugget that was presented there by one of the brothers in Christ. I'm not going to name names. I'm just going to read where there's woes. And it's the flesh. It's the flesh of man when we look at this from a carnal nature. So if you look at chapter 5, we'll read 5 verses. In chapter 6, we'll read the beautiful text of Isaiah here. And it's the difference between the grace of God received and our flesh being exercised outwardly towards others. So we have here the picture, the scenario where Isaiah is angry because everybody is hating on God. They don't believe God. They're worshiping idols. They're just horrible, absolutely horrible. So I'll read the verses that say, woe, the 6 sins condemned. Woe unto them, the 8th verse of 5. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there no place, and they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. The 11th verse. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were with a cart rope. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness and light for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength and mingle strong drink. These are the people that were against Isaiah. These are the people that were proclaiming against God, propagating against God, promoting sin. Guess what Isaiah gets, being one of the called? He gets a vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly, and one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. The ultimate attribute of God. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say love, 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 grace, 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 justice, justice, justice. But it's the umbrella attribute of God. He is holy. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God is majestic and is holy and is beautiful. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah. What does he say? Look at all those people that the woes that I have to deal with. Look at all those people. He doesn't say that. Like the flesh does, right? The flesh says that. That person I have to deal with there, or that person there, or that person. He doesn't say that. He says this, and this was brought forth by one of the brothers, and I thought it was a nugget. Woe is me. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. The tongue cannot be controlled, it says in the New Testament. And I will dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Notice what happened here. He received his sins removed by the coal. But he recognized he was woe before. Grace cannot enter a heart that is not broken, lowly, and contrite. It will not enter. Isaiah had a heart that was broken, lowly, and contrite. Grace was able to enter that heart. He was able to recognize, woe is me, a man of uncleanness, because grace is able to enter. The power of God's grace, the favor of God is able to enter. And then the coal came and touched us. It's no different than us in the New Testament. It's no different. So when we look at God's wrath from the fleshly point of view, from our flesh, we always want punishment for those people that are doing evil or fighting against God. We want punishment. But in the New Testament, we recognize, and Isaiah recognized, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. Except for the grace of God go I. So we see God's wrath differently. We see it differently. It's out of love that he shows his wrath, because he put his wrath on his son, not on us. We get what we don't deserve, his grace and mercy. So why do we look to somebody else and say, yeah, he's going to get it? Why do we have that thought? Because grace is something we don't do. Grace is something that he does. Grace, God allows us to be broken, lowly and contrite. Don't fight against that ever. Because if you fight against that, I can do this on my own. I don't need that. That's not what broken, lowly, and contrite is. That's basically destiny's in my hands and not God's. He's not the author and finisher. I am. I'll create my own destiny. So we have here in Philippians, Paul talking to a group of people. And he says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you in the third verse, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Paul's explaining what joy is. What's joy? I've mentioned this before, and it's such a beautiful picture of joy in chapter 16 of Acts. In the middle of a prison. Paul is in prison. And it's the 24th verse. I'll start there. We could start earlier. But who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Why? They're free. It's by the grace of God go I. I can rest in the work of the cross. It is finished. My brother, my Savior, my Lord, my King has accomplished what he has accomplished in this being, because he's taken me from darkness, brought me into light. So I'm joyful. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. We have joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The wrath of God is appeased. Your sins were put on our elder brother, our Lord. Jesus didn't say, look at them. We should punish them. No, I'll take it on myself. Even that is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have in you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Notice Paul saying of my grace. What does he say in Philippians 2, 1 to 5? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't look at your own stuff. But every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of a God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:7. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Who are the elect of God? The called, the chosen before the foundation of the world. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Why do we have bowels of mercies? Because we know where we come from. We know we don't deserve heaven. We understand our enemies. We have the ability to love our enemies because we were once an enemy. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Are we abounding in? The knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of who Christ is and why he came, and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And God's judgment. He will judge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And in his judgment, he is showing his grace, his mercy. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What are the things? Fourth chapter of Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and have received and heard and seen in me, do, Paul's saying. And the God of peace shall be with you. The peace that passeth all understanding shall be with you. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory of and praise of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What did Peter say to add to his faith? Second Peter. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why shall you never fall? Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. If we think God's wrath is powerful, how much more is his grace more powerful? Because it's his wrath is exercised by his grace. We look to the author and the finisher. If you look at this text and you look at the whole chapter of 1, it's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. The one preach Christ in of contention, not sincerely. This is the 16th verse, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether we in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Somebody will preach a different way. Somebody will use gospel more. Some people will use the law more. Paul's saying it doesn't matter because Christ is the author and finisher of my faith. And he's saying here, he says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He's saying in 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The power of prayer, praying for the saints. Paul is talking about this in this chapter. He's praying for the Philippians and they are praying for him. Why? Because prayer uplifts each other. When you pray for somebody because that prayer was brought to your heart because, oh, did you write it down or did you schedule it? Did you do that? No, it was brought to your heart because God brought it to your heart. This person needs prayer. You will get somebody's name in your heart that you haven't maybe seen in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. And they need prayer, and God knows all the saints, the bride of Christ, that are praying for each other. And it uplifts each other. It is such a beautiful thing to know that we have thousands, millions of people praying for us. And the power of prayer to change lives. It's such a beautiful thing. And Paul knew this, and he's praying, and he's encouraging the Philippians to be united and have the mind of Christ. Why is that? Because his father is presenting a bride to his son. And boy, it's going to happen. They will be pure, holy, and blameless because they will believe in the work of the cross. And they'll propagate the work of the cross in a world that where most people do not like them. But they will stand because they run a race. And they run a race that's for them. It's their race. There is a race to eternity. And we're all running the race to eternity. We're all running it. Somebody else is running the race. Somebody else is running the race. And they're all getting to eternity. We're all running our race. And what do we say? Do we say, oh boy, that person's got a mountain to climb. That's not going to be so much fun. I'm glad mine's flat. That's the thought that says we need to destroy them. The thought is, boy, they have a mountain to climb. Lord, help them climb over that mountain. And through that climbing over that mountain, Lord, help them because they're going to need your strength and encouragement because I see their mountain, because I see their race. Or you look to the other side and you see the race and it's flat. Oh, theirs is easy. And you're climbing a mountain. You're looking down. So theirs looks like that's pretty simple. No, the prayer is this. Thank you as you're climbing the mountain. You're thanking them. Thank you, Lord, that for that brother who's run that race. Thank you for giving them some reprieve so they can enjoy you. That's the difference in grace and justice. It's all grace. It's all grace. It's just how we're perceived to look at it. We're all running a race. And if there's obstacles, there needs to be obstacles. If there's a clear highway, the person's probably had mountains and mountains and mountains to overcome. Don't envy and don't criticize. Just pray. That's what we ask. Let's continue with the next hymn and communion. Say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with them and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood, they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. We'll have everybody come up and take the wafer and the wine, and anybody that wants to go around the communion rail, we can serve them there. Take, eat. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take, drink. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. May the body and may the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for this gracious gift of which you have partaken, and proclaim his suffering, death, and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, Almighty God, thou who hast allowed us to partake of this holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray. Grant that we also, with all thy chosen saints, may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee, and the Holy Ghost, in one Godhead, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Thank you.